And there he was, the crown of thorn and the purple robe. Behold the man. So we need to behold the man upon the cross. Amen. God bless you. But when we see him again, we'll see him as he is. Amen. I'd like for all our veterans to stand today. How many veterans we have here today? Today is Veterans Day. I want to do something. I want to make you walk. We want to thank you for your service to our country on this day to recognize you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service to the country. I'll be back. Thank you for your service. And today's your birthday, right? Well, aren't you special today? Y'all may be seated. And we'll catch Brother Chris here sometime. I thought I was going to have to send a hunting party after you, brother. Thank you for your service to the country. God bless you. So welcome again to Sandy Point. Those of you who are watching by Facebook, glad you could be seeing us through that. And some of you can't be here. We understand that. And the thing about Facebook is that you never know who you're reaching, you know. So that gives a preacher a little bit more hope that you're reaching people. In years gone by, I've had people to, I think they take that off after so many days now, but back a few years ago, they just left it on there indefinitely, and I would have people comment on maybe a sermon that was done 2 years ago or something like that. It was amazing, but I'm not sure that that's available that long now. But it goes out there where people can see it. But I'm glad to be here today with you, and today we're going to be reading just a few verses from 2 Corinthians, and then another reference from 1 Corinthians as St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, which I guess you could say was the most challenging church in St. Paul's ministry, as he established churches and preached the gospel and the Gentile. Really, the church went worldwide under the ministry of Paul and Barnabas and later Silas and all the churches that they established that we have recorded in the Bible. This one seems to be the one where was the most challenging. And as you read and study about the church at Corinth, you know, Paul was very patient with these people. And that's something that we must learn. And the thing about it was, to him, they were worth it. Is this church in Corinth that is causing me so much anguish and questioning his apostolic authority and everything, you know, they had everything going on there, open sin, and it's all happening in the church at Corinth. And at times one would wonder why Paul didn't lose patience and just say, hey, this bunch ain't worth all the trouble and the worries that they're causing me. But he didn't do that. He displayed a great deal of patience with these people because he understood something, that God's people are worth the trouble. I read a little meme that was quoted from Martin Lloyd-Jones this past week, and he says, "It is one thing to love to preach, And it is quite another to love the people that you're preaching to. And that's what Paul had, the love of Jesus in his heart for the people. And they were worth the worries and the anguish that they caused him. And people are worth our energies today. You know, sometimes we wonder, is this worth the effort? Is it? The Lord's work, and that's what I'm going to try to share when we get down to it here in a minute. The Lord's work that we are entered into, and Lord willing, tonight we will set apart officers of the church and workers for commission for another year of service into our church. And we agree as a church on a budget and the things that we are invested in, and hopefully the direction that we take the church and do things, and the things that we do are worth it. People are getting a little bit harder sometimes to volunteer today. A lot of churches have gone fully paid staffs and all. We understand that, but the churches think about the service of the volunteers and what that has played in the role of the church since it was founded on the day of Pentecost, way back there when. So we hope that we understand today that it is a privilege to serve, just as these men we've congratulated on their service to our country. Hopefully it was a privilege to serve for the country. Well, it's a privilege to serve the Lord and to partner with Him. That's what we're going to be speaking about today. The work that we do, we are partnering with Him. And Paul repeated this theme to the church at Corinth and I'm going to read this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Paul said, I hope I hadn't wasted my time on you people at Corinth. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That means, have I helped thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. In verse 1 he says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech ye also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. This theme of we are workers to gather with Him. Hopefully we understand that concept, that we are partners with the Lord. This to gather with Him makes the difference in our effort and our job that we're going to do and what we're going to put into it, invest in this job. This makes the job worth doing. This also guarantees a level of success in what we're doing. That it's not all dependent upon me. Now, I don't see how I can do this. That the fate of the world is dependent upon me and my little life. No, we're just working together with Him, and He is able to do all things. So the burden is not just upon us. We're not just in this on our own here to do what little we can organize and do and put together, but we are workers together with Him, and that makes all the difference in the world. Those three words, together with Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us this assurance that we're partnering with you, and at the burden and all upon us. We have our work to do, But Lord, you have yours. Help us to do the things that you call us to do and to stay in our lane and depend upon you to do your work. And Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to say that we are partnering with the Lord in the Lord's work at the church, which is His church. Thank you for those who serve, those, our heritage, our forefathers who have laid the cornerstone here and given us an example. And Lord, we pray that you bless our efforts to serve you here this coming year. Send forth laborers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Together with Him. That the concept of when we come to know that, hey, this is not just me. It's not about me. That the Lord has called, and the gifts and the callings of God are what? Without repentance. Called us, and it is our privilege to work alongside of Him. Now, why wouldn't God just do it Himself? Why does He need human intervention? Because He wanted it that way. Because that's what God wants. He could do it all. The children of Israel were delivered. They saw the hand of God and all the mighty miracles. And they come to part. They thought, well, God, why don't you just do it for us? I'll help you. I'll lead you with a cloud by day and the fire by night. I'll give you manna to eat. I'll do all these things for you. But you have a role too, you know. And I will partner with you, and you will be successful if you will obey me and follow me. Well, we're not so sure that we can do our part. The enemies here in the land of Canaan, which you said is a land of milk and honey, and it does seem to be, but there's obstacles, and it looks like there is quite a bit of work for us to do. Yeah, that's part of it. And in this partnership, there is some work for us to do. And from a view, the work may look insurmountable, maybe something that we cannot do, but we are forgetting to gather with Him. Caleb understood that concept, and he said, we are more than able to do this because the Lord is going to be with us. You know, it is not a, we got to put the effort, we got to go out there and do some of the work, but with the Lord partnering with us, we are well able to subdue the enemies and what? Just inherit the land of Canaan. It's there for our taking. The same principle can be applied to us today. You know, our culture that we live in, things are really going downhill fast, and we can get discouraged, but we are still well able to get the job done, understanding and knowing that together with Him. On our own, we will fail. We will fail. But together with Him, we will be victorious. You know, Paul said we are what? More than conquerors. We're not only going to be victorious, but we're going to be more than conquerors through Him that died for us and loved us and saved us. Together with Him, we'll get the job done that the Lord has called us to do. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, he says, for we are laborers together with God. Again, he's reminding these people at Corinth, it is not all up to you. Well, we can't do this, no, on your own, but remember, we're laborers together with God. He has not just give us a calling and forsaken us to do all this, and it's dependent upon us. No, but He has invited us, really, to partner with Him. It is His work, and He will give us that we stand in need of. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen. Ye are God's building. We're in this with God. He has not left us on our own. You know, He told the disciples when they were very concerned, when He said, I'm going to die on the cross, they were very sad and hearts troubled. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. And then He talked about, I will send the Holy Spirit to empower you, to lead you and to guide you. I'm not going to leave you on your own. That threat of being left on their own was terrifying to the apostles because they relied heavily upon Jesus' presence. He has not left us orphans today, but He has not called us into a work and just left us. But it is to gather with Him. Never lose sight of that. When Jesus first sent out the apostles, the 12 apostles. Later it says that He sent 70 others and commissioned them with pretty much the same instructions that He sent the disciples. You know, you don't need to carry too much equipment. You need to learn to rely upon Me, and I told them where to go and what to do and all that. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10 and verse 17, when they come back, they have something that we need to have. What is that, Pastor? Excitement. Excitement. The reason they have this excitement about them is that they discovered that it actually works. They realize that the empowerment that Christ had given them actually worked. Jesus is there in the flesh. He commissioned them and told them how to go about it, where to go, what to do, and they come back and say, hey, this actually worked. And so they're all excited, and they come back here in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy. That's something we have to have if we're going to get the Lord's work done. You know, we must have a certain level of joy. It's not all joyful. There's some hard days, some hard things to go through, and labor intense at times, but the people of God must have a certain amount of joy. Here, these 70 have joy and excitement about them because they discover that when they put forth the effort, when they are what? Obedient, which is the first law of the universe. When they actually obey God, do what He said do, it works. It works. They come back excited, again, with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. How? Through Thy name. Through Thy name. Partnering with Jesus, together with Him. They discovered the key to success in the Lord's work was through His name. That it wasn't all upon them, but through His name. And He said unto them, Behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. They were excited and rejoicing. Hey, the work of the Lord is successful. What Jesus said works. It works. And we're happy about that. We had success. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Besides the toils and the labor when things don't go good, you know, that doesn't mean that every venture that we do for the Lord is always going to be successful. Doesn't mean that we're going to win every battle. But behind that, we have the assurance of knowing the real reason to rejoice, Jesus said, is to know that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life here, written in heaven. And that is cause to rejoice. You know, if we don't have cause to rejoice in the immediate events of the day, we go back to that. Hey, I'm saved, and that's enough. I'm saved. And, you know, my eternity is sure in heaven, and that's enough. I don't have to be successful. You know, some people think we have to be successful every day, that everything has to go our way and fall in place, and then they don't have something to fall back onto. It's tough. The Christian, the child of God, even when it doesn't go our way, we have something to fall back upon. And that is the knowledge that our names are written in heaven. And Jesus said, that's what you really need to rejoice about. That's where you get your real joy that sustains you. Not everything went St. Paul's way. History tells us that eventually he was probably beheaded in Rome. Everything didn't go his way. We've been studying the book of Philippians, and he says to the church of Philippians, I think I'm going to be okay, but if I'm not, it's going to be okay. My name's written in heaven. It's going to be okay. Excited these people were. Not only are the 70 excited, not only are they filled with joy, but listen to this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them even to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemeth good unto thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son reveal him. Jesus rejoiced at the success because of their joy. And so it brings joy to the Lord when his people partner together and have a sense of joy about them. You know, not thinking that, hey, I have to do this to be obedient. I have to add to my point score. This is a performance based. No, our salvation is not performance based. It's based upon His obedience. It's based upon His victory. It's based upon His grace. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. It is a privilege to serve, you know. We should find joy in that. And when God's people are happy about serving Him and partnering together with Him, it brings joy to the Lord. He rejoiced in spirit. You know, you want to make the Lord rejoice? Be happy in the Lord, you know. Be obedient. Partner with Him. He's not asked us to do it all ourselves, but just to partner. He done the heavy work. The heavy lifting was done on the cross. And we just get to go along beside of Him and to be a part of something so dynamic, and it's changed the outcome of the world. It has. Really. Together, we get to partner with Him. He has entrusted us with a very sacred word. The work of the Lord. Together with Him, we'll get it done. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah goes back from Babylon with the order to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem and to bring really some stability to the Jewish people who are at the fate of the enemies round about and all that thing. To bring them some safety, stability. A wall that's been completely demolished and rubble. And he has to make that happen again. And he does it. He does it because the people had a mind to work, he said. But he says here to these people in after they build the wall, they have the celebrations, and the people are brought to the Lord, and they have sort of a dedication and a service, and the things of the Lord, the word of the Lord is read to them and explained to them by interpreters, and people make the people to understand the word of the Lord. There's a certain amount, there is time and a place for us to afflict ourselves, right? Especially if we're confronted with sin, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and we think about who we are and where we've come from, those things, you know, the failures from time to time. It's okay for us to be grieved, and there's, in the Bible, it says, you know, there is a time for God's people to grieve, you know, and to be sorry and broken about sin, and as indeed as we look upon the world and see the brokenness, it should grieve us. Jesus looked upon Jerusalem, and it said that he shed a tear. He wept. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. There are times that we are to afflict ourselves and to grieve, but there is also a time for us to be happy. And here at this, what was to be a celebration, but the people were sort of grieving, and, you know, maybe their hearts was thinking about the failures and what got them into that shape to start with, but Nehemiah reminds the people, this is a day to be happy. This is a day to be happy. In Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verses 10 and 11, then said he, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them that have nothing prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength, you know. It's okay to afflict yourselves and to weep at times. We ought to do that, you know. But there's also a time and a place for us to have some joy about us. Without any joy, you know, it says here, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We have to find some joy. Amen? Life is hard. It really is. And there are things that break us, break our hearts. But we must also find some joy. In verse 11 it says, so the Levites still all the people, and it said, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be grieved. This is a good thing that's happening here. When they started to rebuild the temple back there in the days of Ezra and all of them, there was a mixture of emotions. Some of the people shouted for joy, and some of them was crying, and people, outsiders, couldn't understand why some of these people crying and some of them are shouting for joy. The younger people were happy they're at least getting started after a while, building, laid the foundation of the temple. It was a great celebration, but the older people, not so much. Because they knew what? That it probably wouldn't ever be what it used to be. And it broke their hearts. They could remember what the great temple of Solomon was like, and understanding that it's probably not going to be what it was. You know, we had some good times here. And so they were broken. And so the people, the outsiders, they couldn't figure it out. What's wrong with these people? Some of them are shouting for joy, and some of them are sad. So, we need to let people know that we're not sad all the time. We're sad because of the brokenness and the sin and the corruption in this world. But at the same time, we must let people know that there is something about the joy of the Lord that cannot be taken. That your names are written in heaven, and that's something to be joyful about. Joyful about. And so, if we're going to have strength, we must have a certain amount of joy of the Lord, knowing that the Lord's work is doable as we partner with Him. With Him. And then we must understand the importance of the work, that it is a sacred work. You know, these veterans that we congratulated today, they served a vital role with the protection of the country. That's pretty important. Somebody's got to do it, you know. The work of the Lord is important because eternity is in the balance for people. It really is. It is important because He has sent us forth to do it. It is not just something to do, but it's the Lord's work. Nehemiah understands the importance of his job. I am commissioned. I am sent by the Lord, and the Lord moved upon Cyrus there and sent him, commissioned him to go do it. This is the Lord's work. We must value the Lord's work. It is not something that we do with leftover time or efforts. It must have priority because the Lord is important, isn't He? This work has to do with eternity. Now, the people are not our responsibility. It is our responsibility to share the Word of God with them, and then it's between them and God. But our role is to share the good news. And it's not something that we just sort of do on the side. You know what I mean? It must have a place in our heart. Nehemiah's work had a place in his heart, and the job has to get done. It does. There were obstacles. There, you know, the enemies fought against them. They didn't want to see it done, you know. The Bible says that we're up against principalities and powers and darkness in the high places, but I always say we have friends in higher places, so be consoled with that. There are going to be days that maybe we don't win, seemingly, but we're on the winning side. Read the Bible. We know how the story ends. We're on the winning side. Nehemiah, here is there are obstacles coming in the way of enemies. Nehemiah chapter 6. Now, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabians, and the rest of the enemies heard that I built the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat, Geshem, said to me, saying, come down and meet together with us in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And their objective here is just to delay the work, just to interfere. These Jews are being successful in building the walls, and we'll do anything we can to get them to quit working. Satan and the enemies of Christ will do anything they can to get us to stop working. They want the work to cease. Their mission is to put a hold upon the work. Yeah. Let's get an injunction. Let's get a judge to rule this work to stop. Let's stop it. And so they say, hey, we need to talk to you. Let's go out here in one of the cities and talk this over. He understood the situation. He knew their motive was just to get the work stopped. And it says in verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. He's convinced up front that I'm doing a great work. We must be convinced that the Lord's work is not just a good thing to be doing, but a great work. We must have that assurance and be convinced in our hearts, because if we're not, we won't take it serious. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? He knew their mischief there. But he said, I'm doing a great work. Doing a great work. Listen, the Lord's work is a great work. It is, and we must be convinced of that. We must have a certain level of joy about us when we do the Lord's work. An honorable work, a great work that we're doing, and that we are partners together with Him. Now there's another danger that God's people run into often. This rears its head from time to time in churches among God's people who start out humble, and then they get to a point and say, you know what? I'm pretty good at this. I think I can do this. And pretty soon, we don't need to partner with the Lord. We've got the skills and the know-how, and we can do it ourselves. And we quit relying upon the Lord, and there's no partnership there. That's not pleasing to the Lord. And that always fails in the end. You read news articles and you see it happening even to today. People who've come up humble and then they get to a certain level where, hey, people tell me I'm pretty good and you know what? Hey, I kind of believe them. People tell me how good I am at doing what I'm doing and hey, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right and I can do this. And it's about me and maybe we can do this. And they always fail. We must remember the words of Jesus. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I don't care how smart we are, how gifted we are, we might do some things among men, but the work of the Lord, we will not get it done on our own. We must understand the dynamics of this together with Him. And we must apply it every day in the Lord's work and in His house. As we go about to do the Lord's work, we must always remember this principle. Without Him, He has called us to partner with Him, but what? It's His church. It's His church. It's the church of the living God right here in Sandy Point. And He has called us to partner with Him to carry on ministry. And we better learn to stay in our lane and let Him do His part. The work may seem too much at times. But I assure you, together with Him, we can do the Lord's work that He has called us to do here at Sandy Point. Together with Him, we'll get the job done. We'll get the job done. On our own, we might do some things, but we will fail in the mission of the Lord's work. Our role is to share the gospel and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, to encourage one another, to plead with the lost. The results are in His hands. We don't convict people of sin. We see the brokenness and it's easy to recognize what's wrong with this world, the culture today. See, we know. But we say, well, why can't people see that? Why can't we make them see it? It's because we cannot convict them. It is, Paul preached the gospel, wherever it was, in Philippi or wherever, and it says, and the Lord opened the hearts of Lydia and others, and then they believed. So, let's do our part. And the Lord has always proved to be faithful and to do His, and not get confused and encroach and try to do His job. He's well equipped and able to do His job. The question is whether or not we will do ours. Remember, it is His church, and as workers, we get to work and partner with Him. Paul, again, reminding the church at Corinth here, they had lots of things going on, and he told them a lot of things, but this is an important principle that they must discover and be reminded of it. Hey, we then as workers together with Him. Paul saying, this is just not me, that we're workers together with Him, partnering with the risen Lord to get His job done. To be working together with the Lord should bring some excitement. The Lord of this universe has called us. Yeah, He could do it on His own, but why? Because it pleased the Lord to do it this way. And we are the blessed for getting to be able to be a part of this awesome work of changing the world. So, why then don't everybody sign up? Why then is it seemingly get difficult sometimes to get enough people to do things? Because some things don't change, and it was the same way when our Lord walked the earth. And I suppose it's always been this way, you know. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, verse 35, Jesus went about all cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. And this is what we have to do. We have to have the eyes of Jesus when we see the brokenness. And He sees all these people who are broken, a lot of sick, halt, maimed, a lot of people, poor people, came to Jesus. He sees the brokenness there, and we have to pray for the eyes of Jesus. Show us the brokenness. Why he says when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That has not changed. That's the peoples of the world today. And we have to get out of the judgmental state. And, you know, the eyes are powerful. You know, what we see. I could solve that quickly. I can see. I know their problem. No, that's not our job to judge or to solve their problems, but it is our job to care, to have the compassion of the Lord, to look behind what we see on the outside, and to look to the heart, because He could do that. And He knew that within these broken people, they were really people who were fainted, who were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. He had compassion on them. He said unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That has not changed. With the world population today at over 8 billion, think about the brokenness of humanity today. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. You know, laborers who will partner alongside of the Lord, who will serve in the local church and the local communities, doing the work of the Lord, understanding that they are not on their own, but we get to partner with Him. Hey, the local church is a fine institution. It is. It is ordained of God, sanctified and set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a divine institution. Had it not been, it would have been gone long ago. But today, it still stands until Jesus comes back and we get to work together with the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Danny to come and lead us with a song here this morning. If you're here today and maybe you're struggling with your commitment to the Lord, think about it. Listen, we're called to partner with Him. He has not asked us to do this on our own. That was a very frightening thing to me when I was called to preach. I had to discover I'm not on my own here doing it. Let's stand together. If you're here today, you have not been saved. You need to repent and to believe the gospel. Come to Christ today. Whatever need you have here today, we'd be glad to pray with you. If the Lord leads you, if the Holy Spirit leads you to come and pray, do so today. And it's your business what you pray about. We'd be honored to pray with you, shall we sing.